2017. Amen. You know, this is a day that you've never seen before. Amen. I'm so glad to be found in the house of the Lord. Amen. And I'm grateful for all that He has done. Well, our topic this month is going to be pursuing holiness. Pursuing holiness. You know, there's all kinds of different churches, and some are very, very, let's just use the word, strict. And some, really, it doesn't matter what you do, it seems. Well, we're not Catholic. We are apostolic. Apostolic. What does apostolic mean? Anyone, what does apostolic mean? Sister Johnny.
Well, the apostolic is the apostle doctrine, Amen. Which means one God.
Amen. It is the apostles' doctrine. When we say we're apostolic, when we say we are apostolic, it means we follow what the apostles, the original apostles, taught and practiced. What the early church, the first church, the original church, the genuine church did. And so if you were going to call yourself apostolic, where would you find that teaching? Where would you find that doctrine? The book of Acts. That's what it's called, the Acts of the Apostles, because that's where it's recorded what the apostles did and taught and the church. And then we have the epistles of Paul, which are letters to the different churches that he founded, that he encouraged. And so we're going to be studying pursuing holiness. And this week we're going to talk about walking with God, a lifestyle. It's supposed to be a lifestyle. Amen. If there's nothing different about you, there's something wrong. If there's nothing, if there's no difference in the things you do, think, say, wear, there's something wrong. They could tell something was different about the apostles on the day of Pentecost. There was a difference. They were behaving differently. They were acting differently. There was something different going on. So in the book of Acts, we see that there is a distinction. And the book of Malachi, it speaks about the difference between the profane and the holy. So we're talking about holiness and pursuing holiness. Now, none of us is perfect. Nobody is perfect. Paul and the book of Philippians said, I press towards the mark of the high calling. He said, not that I have attained, but I'm pressing to attain. So we are going to teach this month about pursuing holiness. There's a scripture that says, without which no man or woman will see God. Think about that. The Bible says, without holiness, no man or woman is going to see God. So that means that it's important. It's something that we should be knowledgeable about. So we're going to be talking about pursuing holiness, and this week we're going to talk about walking with God, a new lifestyle. Now, most of the things that I'm going to teach today, we usually only touch on once a year in the business meeting. And the problem with that is very few people come to the business meeting. So I don't know. As I said, I might have to do it in an evangelistic service to get everyone. Because I want you to know what it means to be apostolic. I want you to know what it means to be holy. Because the Bible says without holiness, no man is going to see God. That means it's important. It's important. It's not just coming to church. It's not just saying, I am a Christian. Everybody out there, if you go out there and ask them, they'll say they're a Christian. Well, we're going to talk about call to holiness and then perfecting holiness and seeking holiness. Now, the definition that is used in the Bible, in the Hebrew, the word is kodesh. Kodesh. And that's what the part of the tabernacle was called. The first inner part was called the holy place. The holy place. You know what that means? You couldn't just walk in there any old how. You couldn't just walk into the holy place dressed any like you were going to the beach. You know what would happen if you tried that? You would die. God would strike you dead. In fact, None of us could even come inside the tabernacle, first of all, because we were Gentiles. But even Jews could not just walk into the holy place. You had to be chosen. You had to be of the tribe of Levi. And you had to have the right garments on, or else you could not operate. And before you started to go into there, there were two pieces of furniture in the courtyard. Anyone remember what they were? There was the brazen altar. There had to be a sacrifice paid. There had to be something done before you just walk straight into the holy place. That was not going to happen. Then you had to wash in the brazen laver. You had to have the priestly garments on before you could go into the holy place. You know why God set that all up? As an example to us. As an example. Yes, we are living in the age of grace, but as I said, that doesn't mean that anything goes. Paul said, should sin abound just because of God's grace? No. God forbid. Should we continue in sin just because grace abounds? No. But we are going to study today what it is to be walking and pursuing holiness. Leviticus 11:44 says, "For I am the Lord your God, ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves." Now everybody should know what that means. What does sanctification mean? Set apart. Set apart from what? Set apart from what? What does sanctification mean? Someone said it's set apart. Name me some things that we should be set apart from then. Okay, I hear a lot of good words. Negativity. Fornication. Cursing. Drunkenness. Lying. You know the list. That is the first step. God is telling us. Bad associates. Sometimes you got to set apart yourself from some people. I hate to use him as an example, but Brother Antion, you know, he's incarcerated and he's been in there a few years, and I go and visit him. And he's got a few more years left to go, but I always tell him, listen, when you come out, the first thing you're going to have to do is separate yourself. If you start hanging around with those same people, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be back right in here. You have to separate yourself from things that are profane. See, I'm going to step on some toes today. A few people are going to be upset with me. But I'd rather you be upset with me than God be upset with me. Because we are called to be a church, not the world. Not the world. We got to be separate. That means you can't just do anything you want. You couldn't just walk into the holy place or else you would be struck down by God. You would be killed. Sanctify yourselves and ye shall be holy. You see, if you start separating yourself, God will do his part. But there is a part for us to play. It's not all on God. Adam was put in the garden, this beautiful place, but he had a job to do. He had to at least pick the fruit. You know, some of us, we want the person to cook the food and then feed us. You know, God has cooked the meal, but we still have to pick up the fork. We have to pick up our plate and clean it when we're done, right? We don't just get up and walk away. Ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourself with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. It means you got to disassociate yourself from some creeps. Isn't that what it says? Yeah. Creeping thing, whatever that is, you got to disassociate yourself. Now, that may be difficult if it's family, but that's what God says. If there's people in your life that are profane, you need to separate yourself. It's not because you are better than them, but it's because God is wanting to do something with your life. God could not really bless Abraham till he separated himself from Lot. Sometimes the person isn't necessarily a wicked person, but God wants to get you by yourself. God wants to have his full attention on you. It wasn't until Lot separated that God started to bless Abraham. He said, now look around. And he renewed the covenant. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. If you're worshiping and you're not worshiping in the beauty of holiness, you're not worshiping. Amen. Let me read some definitions. Holiness means apartness, sacredness, separateness. That's what the dictionary definition means. So it's not a bad thing to be holy. It's not because you're better than anyone. It's all it is because you have a heart to be like God. Ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Now, how does holiness start? We've baptized a ton of people, but I don't know if they've really got it. And so I really want to go over some steps today so you understand. So when I stand before God, I will be able to say, Lord, I told them. I told them. I want to have a clear conscience, because Pastor Bernard, who is the superintendent of the UPCA, he wrote a book and he says, you get the church, you preach. You get the church, you preach. Okay? Because when I preach stuff you don't like, you're going to leave. Okay. That's all right. But those who stay will be those who understand and believe the word. So I want to get the church that I preach. So I have to preach the word. Okay, repentance is the beginning. It's just the beginning. As I've said many times, people come and ask me for baptism. And I really believe they don't understand, but I hate to turn them down. They think baptism is going to suddenly fix their life. No, it's just a beginning. It's not a magical rabbit's foot. It's not a secret potion that suddenly you go down in the water and then all your bad stuff, all your bad behavior, all your bad choices disappear. No. You have to start a walk of repentance. You have to start pursuing holiness. You have to start a change of attitude. It's not a magic potion when you go in there. It only works if you have a heart that is changed and directed. Let me explain what repentance is. Acts 2:37. Now, when they had heard this, that means all the Jews on the day of Pentecost, after Peter preached and explained what had happened, it says they were pricked in their hearts. That means their conscience, godly sorrow, started to work in there. They realized that what they had done was wrong. They realized that they had crucified the Messiah and to the rest of the apostles. And then they said this, men and brethren, what shall we do? True repentance will bring humility. Someone is truly repented and is sorry will be humble. See, someone who is not truly sorry will be prideful. When Saul was confronted with his sin, when the prophet Samuel came, instead of saying, you know, I'm sorry, I messed up, he said, honor me before the people. Let's not let this become public. Let's keep it a secret. Just between me and you, Saul. Let's pretend nothing happened. Let's keep going. No, that's not true repentance. Repentance is a broken and a contrite heart. That's the beginning of the start on the walk to holiness. Because when you truly repent, it starts from the inside. It's not an outside show. It's not a pretend fake coming to church. It's not a club. It's not supposed to be a club. This is the house of God. This is supposed to be a consecrated place. This is supposed to be where you can get touched, where you can get delivered, where you worship, where we encourage one another. Peter then said unto them, repent. That's the first step in pursuing holiness. It's got to start from inside. You got to know that you have sinned. You have to have godly sorrow. And if you have godly sorrow, that will change the way you're going. See, grace, God provides grace for forgiveness. But that forgiveness is not automatic. The grace is there, but it only is applied through godly sorrow, which brings repentance, a turning around. And repentance is what allows us to receive that forgiveness. But repentance is not saying, I'm sorry. Repentance is changing your actions. If I keep hitting you and I say, I'm sorry, I haven't really repented, have I? Repentance is to stop doing it. A lot of people say, I'm sorry, but they're still... That's just fake. We need a heart transplant. True repentance leads to a change in actions. So you'll know if you've repented. Are you still doing the same thing? Are you growing? Are you truly pursuing holiness? Now, it's not that we're not going to mess up. We're all going to mess up. But do we give up? That's the difference. Do we give up when we make a mistake? No, we will be humble. We will be repentant and say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. We will be hurt that we hurt God. If we're sensitive, we will be hurt that we hurt God. So repentance and death to sin and life to obedience. We got to do the opposite to what the world wants us to do. We got to be holy. See, it comes down to how much do we love God. Let me confess something. I had a bad habit. Years and years ago, I think she knows where I'm going. But years and years ago, a bit of culture, we were always late to church. I wasn't the pastor, I was just, you know, I did teach a little bit. But we were always late to church. Now, you can blame the traffic one week or the rain and the moon and the eclipse. But if you're late to church every single week, that's a heart problem. Come on, let's be honest. I'm talking about pursuing holiness. It's all about where your priorities are. I'm going to step on some toes today, but I'll do it with a smile. I'll do it with a smile. Amen. So the pastor, the first pastor we had at this home missions church, he called us in and sat us down. And he just bluntly said, "You don't love God, do you?" We could have had excuses. We had some babies. One of them was autistic. We lived 30 miles out of town. I mean, I could have told him all the excuses I wanted. He didn't care. He was a good pastor. He sat us down, called us in the office, and says, "You don't love God, do you?" You know, if I wasn't a Christian, I could have got all offended and said, "Well, look at how much I do for the church. Look what I do. Look at this." That's not what it's about. It's creating me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. I don't think I would be here today if I hadn't been humble and said, "Pastor, you are right. We're going to do better." See, what I'm talking about is how much do you love God? He just said, "You don't love God." And, at first my flesh was about to argue with him. "Who are you to tell me I don't love God?" But, he was right. And when we repented, we changed our actions. We started to get to church on time. You do that with the job, what happens to you? It's like Hebrews. It said in the Old Testament, when the word of the angel was steadfast and there was no mercy, your boss is not going to put up with more than about 3 times late and then out the door. Thank you. There's 20 others will take your place and be happy to do it. Yet why do we think we should serve God any different? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Listen. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God." He was testing him to see if he knew who he was. "Thou knowest the commandments." See, we all know what we should be doing. Really, you've heard a million messages. Most of the sermons I heard someone say, you've heard before, with a little bit of twist. It's nothing new. He said, "You know the commandments. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother." And the young man was able to say, "Listen, I've done all of this. I'm a good person." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "One thing thou lackest." I'm asking you today, is there something you lack? This man was very close to being perfect. He was that close, but there was something that he put before God. In this case, it was his money. What is it that you put before God? Is it your sleep on a Sunday morning? Is it Sunday school isn't important? What thing are you putting before God? Because if you're pursuing holiness, there will be nothing before God. One thing you lack. Some of us lack a lot more than that. But I'm teaching you today because I want this church to be a church.
Amen.
Not even a church, but the church. There's many A churches, but we want to be the children of God. Now, when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. There was one thing that was his idol in his life. Some of us have more than one thing that our priorities are turned over. Then we wonder why God should jump when we say jump. We haven't put him first. Why should he put us first? Then we come to church and we want instant fix. "Pastor, pray for me. I just lost my job. Everything's collapsing." Well, where were you? I haven't seen you for 5 weeks. Where have you been?
Uh-huh. Well, they don't speak
We want God to be to jump when we're ready, but where were we serving him before? Now, I'm just being real with you because I'm talking about pursuing holiness. Where is our priorities? Let me tell you a few things about true holiness. It's going to require sacrifice. Sacrifice is something that hurts. If it doesn't hurt, it isn't a sacrifice. If it doesn't cost you, that's not a sacrifice. Sometimes it's going to cost you friends. You can't be friends with everybody. I cut off a lot of Facebook so-called friends when they start posting some obscene stuff. Sometimes it's going to cost you family. You go into that holy roller church again? Sometimes finances. Jacory testified about giving the man at the bus stop $5. For him, I'm sure that's quite a big sacrifice. Sometimes it's going to cost us finances to be pursuing holiness. Sometimes it's going to cost us desires. We're so in love with this person, but that person isn't saved. Amen. Who do you love more? Sometimes it's going to cost desires, things you want to do, but are not the right thing that God wants you to do. And if you do it, you're going to pay the consequence. Sometimes it's going to cost you ambition. I'm not boasting, and I don't mean to boast, but when I was younger, when I was in my 20s, I was a pretty good guitarist, and I was offered all kinds of things. Opportunities to go play in clubs, to do all kinds of things. I could have made money, but you know what? I valued what God taught me as his gift, that it was sacred. It was sacred. I couldn't take what he had given me and use it for the devil. You know, we have to give up ambition. We have to give up ambition sometimes if we're pursuing holiness. You know, people say, well, who are you to tell me what to do? Who are you? You're just a man. Don't tell me how to live my life. All right? Well, I'll show you what Paul says about that. Furthermore, then, 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that he have received of us. Paul is telling them something here. How ye ought to walk. Do you believe the New Testament Bible? Or if you don't believe that chapter, take it out. Go find it in your Bible and take that page and rip it out. Because there is Paul telling them how you ought to walk. So that gives me the right as pastor to tell you, based upon God's word now, not my opinion, how you ought to walk biblically. Ye have received of us how we ought to walk and to please God. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. The moment you don't think your pastor is following Christ, hit the door, leave that church. Because you need to run from that place. But if you think that what I'm feeding you is God's word, then you need to obey it. Here's Paul telling them what to do. So if you want to say, you can't tell me what to do, fine. Find 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in your Bible, get some scissors, cut that out. Because that's what it says. Ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so that he would abound more and more. Not because, and you all know this who have been coming here a long time, I am not a control freak. I'm not trying to run your lives, but I want you to be saved. I want this church to be holy. I want this church to be blessed. I want this church to be a nesting for new souls. For we know what commandment we gave you by the Lord Jesus. He's very blunt. He says, we gave you a commandment. Now, commandment is not something optional. It's you better do this because I'm an apostle of the Lord and this is what God has told me to tell you. You better do this. He says, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your what? Separation, sanctification. You need to separate yourself, he was telling the Corinthians. See, the Corinthian church were in Greece, and they came out of of worshiping idolatrous beings. They came out of a sinful situation and civilization of sexuality, homosexuality, the whole mess. Nothing different. Nothing different from today. And he said, listen, you need to be separate from all that mess. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that he should abstain from fornication. And that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. He's saying you better control yourself. Possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. We had a whole month of vessels of honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto what? Holiness. That's what I'm talking about. Pursuing holiness. So you may say, well, what does a man have to be telling me what to do? Well, Paul, under the authority of God in the Thessalonians, said, gave them commandments. Gave them commandments. Now, I don't come to people and tell them what to do. I tell them what the word tells them to do. Now, if you disobey that, you're not really doing anything to me. You're disobeying God. I put it in another translation so that it was clear. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you. This is in the NIV version. We instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus Christ to do this more and more. That's what about pursuing holiness. We don't get perfect every day, but we should be growing in God's word and in love. We aren't able to drop off all of our faults and failures instantly. But if you've been coming to church for 5-10 years, I hope you're not the same as when you first went down in the water. I hope you've been able to have some victories over Satan. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. Paul is always very careful in his epistles to distinguish his own opinion from God's. When he was talking about marriage, he said, listen, it's my opinion that you don't even marry because that brings trouble. But listen, this is just my opinion. He never said, thus saith God. But when he said, thus saith God, you better listen. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. See, we cannot make ourselves perfect, but we certainly can separate ourselves. We certainly can make some choices of things not to get into, of people not to associate with, of places not to go, of attire not to wear. Right? Yes. Think the priest could walk into the holy place with just his loincloth? No. That wouldn't work. That would not happen. Let me explain how holiness brings you to God. The Bible says in Genesis 5:24, that Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. This is the blessing of holiness. When you're that close to God, then God will listen to you. See, it's about relationship. The closer we are to God, the more relationship we have, the more our prayers will be answered. Now, you may say, well, is it a works-based? No, it's just a fact. If I want to ask someone a favor, and it's a big favor, I better have a relationship with them. I've said before, I can't go and write a letter to Bill Gates and ask him for money. He'll say, who is this? Do I know you? Do I know you? But when my mom was alive, I could always go to her and say, Mom, I need a little loan. Just a little loan. And if she had it, she almost never turned me down. So now I'm being paid back with my children. That's okay. Amen. Hebrews explained what happens. By faith, Enoch was translated. It means he disappeared. That he should not see death and was not found. God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Pursuing holiness is all about pleasing God. When you wake up tomorrow morning, that should be on your heart. God, how can I please you today? What can I do to be pleasing in your sight? Because you know what the Bible says? If a man's ways please God, what is it? How does it finish? See, that's why the more you please God, the less you will have to pray and ask him for stuff. It'll just happen. It'll just be fulfilled. Amos 3:3 gives the answer. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You know what that means about Enoch? He must have been tight with God. The Bible says Enoch walked with God. Amos 3:3 says, two cannot walk together unless they be in agreement. Enoch was in such agreement with God, God said, you know, you are to the place where you become like me. I'm going to take you now. We're talking about pursuing holiness. You know, most of us, me included, we tend to pursue our desires. What do I want to happen this week? Well, let's see. Maybe we need a new suit, a new dress, a new shoes. That's what's on our mind. But has anything come to us about God? God, what would you want this week? Is there anything I can do for you, God, to please you? Can I pray for someone? Can I go out of my way to find someone to help? That's part of holiness. It should not be about me, I, and myself. Because if we're taking care of us, God don't need to take care of us. Right? God don't need to take care of us. Jesus spoke about being in the world, but not of this world. John 17:12. Hope you like my little illustration, the one fish going the other way. It's easy to float downstream, take some efforts to swim up the river. This world is going downstream. You got to be going in a different direction. John 17:12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Does the world hate you? That's a measurement. If the world loves you, ask yourself, why? Why does the world love you? Are you just flowing downstream with them? Are you doing everything they're doing? This Tuesday, they're having a celebration party at my workplace because the project I was on was finished. And when I looked at the invite, it was really, they're going to go start at this brewery, go to this brewery, go to this brewery, go to that brewery. So I had just had to write the manager a letter, say, well, with great regret, I'm sorry that I cannot participate. I'll be teaching Tuesday night. I don't even have any the least bit desire to go through some stinking pubs, sitting there drinking some bitter fluid. That's not my desire. See, we got to swim the other way. We got to do like Joseph. When Potiphar's wife grabbed him, he was so scared to get out of there, he just ran out. If she tore off his jacket, he was gone. He was not going to sit around and talk with that lady. When we see things coming that are sinful, we need to get going. This is what Jesus said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. So don't pray that you're not going to get tempted. It's going to happen. But that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Here's that word again. Sanctify them. Set them apart. How? Through thy truth. The more word you get, the more knowledge you get of God, that should separate you. You should know, I can't go there. I can't do this. I can't watch this. I can't participate in this. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for a church, the Bible says, without spot or wrinkle. Without spot or wrinkle. That means we're going to have to be separated. We're going to have to be different. Romans 1:2 says this, and be not conformed. What does that word mean, conformed? Be not conformed. Don't be aligned with this world. Don't let the world mold you into its shape. Don't let them pressure you, peer pressure, to go along with what's happening in high school, in college, at your workplace. There was a guy sitting on the other side of me, and the company that I work for have a very strict policy about professional behavior. And the last couple weeks, I've heard him get up and start, you know, saying a few words, cuss words, and it just started to just so upset me. And I pledged to myself, if I hear him do it one more time, I don't care if he takes a hatred to me, I'm going to say something. I'm going to do something about it. You know, we should have a righteous indignation. People look at Jesus as if he was just a milquetoast. But you know, there was one day he went into the house of God and he said, listen, you've made my house a den of thieves. And he got a whip. So people who have what would Jesus do better be careful, because one of the things he did is he took a whip and he chased the money changers out of the temple. Be ye transformed. Repentance brings a change. If you really love God, you will change. You will try. You'll be striving. You may not be perfect. You may not achieve it, but you're not going to sit there and enjoy it. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to pray, God, change my thinking. If there's some sin that you're enjoying, you have to pray, God, change my thinking. Take away the desire for this. Renew me, remake me. Let the Holy Spirit move in your life, that he may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Separation. We've been talking about it. So I'm going to get to the nitty-gritty now. I'm going to go to the details now. And I'm going to be smiling when I say it. I'm going to start with you women. But the men is coming. Peter speaking about a godly woman whose adorning, let it not be that of outward adorning, of plaiting of hair, and of the wearing of golden. What he's saying, he's not saying don't dress nice. But don't dress like the world. Don't dress like you're going clubbing. You're coming to the house of God. You're coming to worship God, not have men worship you. See, the practice back then, what he was speaking about specifically was, there was a practice by the Roman women of taking strands of gold and plaiting it in their hair. Okay? That's what he was speaking about. They were trying to make themselves be images to be worshipped. There's only one God that we should worship. I'm not saying don't fix yourself up. Make yourself attractive. But remember, you're not coming to attract anyone except the Holy Spirit, I hope. And you men, don't come in here with something on your hat, on your head, else I will come and speak to you. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head. It's not raining in here, is it? We fixed the roof, didn't we? I don't see any rain. There's no wind blowing. There's no reason for you to come in here with a hat. The Bible says this. The Bible says, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head. Am I saying that, or is the word saying that? For as much as he is the image and glory of God. You know what that means? If you're going to cover your head in here, it means you're not his image and you don't want to be his glory. I'm talking about pursuing holiness. Now, if you come to business meeting, you'd hear all this, but since a lot of you won't, I'm telling it today.
Amen.
Amen. We need to be a church, not a club, not a social gathering, but we need to be believers who follow the apostolic doctrine. Here's another scripture. In like manner also that women should adorn themselves in modest apparel. One of the reasons why I'm doing this is because someone asked me this week, am I dressed correctly? I said, listen, what we teach is that you be dressed modestly. Okay? Don't come to church like you're ready to, and I don't mean to be crude, breastfeed.
Amen?
Amen? I'm saying it with a smile. Modestly. We come to worship God. Right? Now, men too, don't come like your trousers is around your, you know, knees. Nobody wants to see your underwear. We should come to worship God. The priestly garments were so special, it was an honor to put them on. You couldn't just walk into the tabernacle with any old how. You had to put on these priestly garments. God is telling us that we need to get dressed because he's coming. We taught on Tuesday about the Feast of Pentecost and how on the night they left Passover, they had to be dressed, ready to go. They had to have their belongings ready. We can't come any old how to God and think he's going to accept us. We need to be pursuing holiness. Now, we cannot make ourselves holy, but there are choices we can do. We can't just put it in God and say, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do no better. Do the best you can. You may not have an Armani suit. I don't have an Armani suit. But I'm certainly not going to come in here naked. This is not the beach. Don't come to the house of God in shorts, please.
Amen.
Sorry, it's not the beach.
Amen.
You know, when we go for an interview and we want to get the job, most of you dress up, don't you?
Right.
You put on your best. There used to be a thing called Sunday best. It's gone now, but why can't we honor God, his house? I'm talking about things we can do. It's not about trying to be holier than thou. No. It's that our witness and our love of God shows in our actions. So we should honor God by how we dress when we come to his house. When we come to his house, we should, you know, it doesn't mean that you need to put on, as I said, an Armani suit or a 5,000 haute couture outfit. But we need to honor God. We need to honor God. Oh, you can. Sister Brown.
As far as modesty, you've talked about necklines. So what you're saying there is that your neckline shouldn't be to the point where you're exposing your chest.
Right.
Your clothing doesn't need to be so tight that you can see your undergarments.
Right.
You should be comfortable enough to lift your hands you should be comfortable enough to move freely in the house of God. And if it doesn't look like that, then you're not dressed modestly.
Amen.
Amen. Now, every now and then we have to teach the basics. It's all very well talking about the rapture and all those things, but every now and then we have to do this because not everyone understands. See, Jezebel, she knew how to use her feminine attraction to try and get out of trouble. In 2 Kings, God had pronounced judgment on her. So you know what she did? She went and painted up herself. And when Jehu was come to Jezebel, Jezebel heard of it. She painted her face and teared her, put her hairs in tresses and put gold and all kinds of things because she was trying to change his mind. So women, don't come to church trying to change anybody's mind. We need to come to worship God. Amen. Our attention should be towards God. Right? Towards God. I'm trying to hurry here now. So it's not attention from men or women we should be seeking. I'm not saying that we're not human, that we don't have desires. God created that desire between that natural attraction. He created it. He designed it. But when we come to worship God, that's what we should be doing. Amen? Well, people say, well, it doesn't matter what other people think. My relationship is me and God. God sees my heart. And that's great. God does see your heart, but I can't see your heart.
Amen.
I can only see what you look like.
Amen.
So it's all very well telling me God sees your heart, and so it doesn't matter what anybody thinks. Well, here's what the Bible says. Speaking about leadership, it says, moreover, speaking about leaders, he must have a good report of them which are without. What does that mean? It means you're going to have a good reputation for people even that are not in the church. So it does matter what other people think. That's what the word says, not what I say. Because if you are messing up and people outside the church know that, and I go to witness to them and say, I'm not coming to that church. They're a bunch of hypocrites. See, you will be damaging your witness. So it does matter what other people think. That's what the scripture says. Paul in his epistle to Timothy says, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without. Even sinners, you have to carry yourself so that you can have a good report. Or else your main job, which is witnessing, is destroyed. I saw something on the internet yesterday about a preacher, a woman preacher, who got pregnant, not married, still continuing to serve. I really don't know how that works. I don't know how that works. I was telling someone the other day, if I went outside of my marriage, I could not come back up here. What witness would I be giving you? No. Now, God may forgive me, but my witness, my good report would be destroyed. So we do have to consider what other people think. It's not just, well, God looks at my heart, so it doesn't matter. Yeah, God sees you in the bathroom when you're naked. He doesn't care about that, but don't come to church that way, because I'm not God. I can't see your heart. I can only see your actions. In other words, it says in the NIV, he must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and be the devil's trap. Because, you see, if you don't, my witness is destroyed. Our witness is destroyed. So it does matter what other people think. Proverbs 22 verse 1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. I'm trying to hurry. Now, just very quickly, I'm going to talk about doctrine, traditions, and guidelines, because there's three different things. And it's all about pursuing holiness. Traditions is outward works, things that justify us before men. Now, traditions can be bad or good, right? Some traditions void the word of God. The Bible says so. Some of your traditions have nullified the word of God. But not all traditions are bad things. Just because the Bible doesn't say don't do it or do it doesn't mean it's a bad thing. So we have traditions. And then we have faith, which is a sincere heart and justifies us before God. And we have categories of teachings. Doctrine. Now, when we talk about doctrine, that's not me, that's not my opinion, that's not a tradition. That's the word of God. Repentance, baptism of water and spirit, walking in holiness to conform to the image of God. That is a doctrine. That's not me, that's not my opinion, that's the word of God. Then we have traditions, which is culture. You know, in some cultures, if a man didn't have a beard, they would look at him as being effeminate. So if I was a missionary and I was going to a country where it was cultural for a man to have a beard, if I wanted to be effective and be a witness, guess what I would have to do? I'd have to grow a beard. Now, that's not a sin. If I don't grow a beard, it's not a sin. But if I want to be effective, if I want to be a witness, that tradition in that country is a good tradition. You understand what I'm saying? That tradition would make my witness effective. Now, in other places, maybe that's not necessary, so I don't have to have a beard. It's not thus saith the Lord. It's just whether if I want to be a missionary and be effective, then I have to understand that culture. So some traditions are good, and some traditions are bad. How do we decide which is good and which is bad? How do we know which traditions to hold to and which to say, no, we don't need this? I'll tell you. Does it help our witness? Does it hurt our witness? That's it. If it's a tradition that makes our witness to the world be better, then it's a good tradition. If it's something that is a stumbling block that makes people stumble, then it's a bad tradition. It's as simple as that. Guidelines. Now, there are things that are not traditions. They're not in the scripture, but there are guidelines by the pastor. Now, if you want to work for UPS, what color are you going to wear? You're going to have to wear the UPS brown. You can say, I don't like that. That's horrible. It stinks. And they're going to show you the door, right? Because that's their company. So you'll find different churches, different pastors have different guidelines. It's not thus saith God. It's just God's wisdom that he finds for his church. It's not bad or evil. It's just like your children. I had 4 children and all of them are different. And I couldn't treat them all the same. Chris was the most well-behaving. I'll give him that. You didn't have to do anything to Chris except look at him. You just had to look at him and he'd behave. Now, my son Paul, looking at him, It was not going to do it. Speaking at him sometimes was not going to do it. Sometimes you had to actually take action to get him to live. And so that's the same thing in a church, actually. There's some people you don't have to really get on their case. There are other people you really have to be on top of them. So why do different pastors have different ordinances? Well, the scripture explains that. 1 Corinthians 12:5. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Some people need to go to a church where the pastor is really strict, because that's the only way they're going to stay saved. You know, they just don't have the capacity to, they need someone checking on them every week and saying, where you been, what you doing? Now, that's not me. So if that's what you need, I'm sorry, you're in the wrong church. I want you to serve God because you love him. You've come to know him. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to abandon you. I'm going to call you. I'm not going to be in your business. But I want you to be pursuing holiness. 1 Corinthians 12:5 says there are differences of administrations. There are different churches that have different feel to them, different atmospheres to them. And not every church is for everyone. So if you're at Rehoboth, I want you to understand where you're at. That this is a church where we give you liberty to serve God in love. But that doesn't mean that I give you licentiousness to do anything you want. That's not how it works, because there is a word of God that tells me what I must teach. We're pursuing holiness. Why are there so many different denominations? Because they're different of administrations. And the reason is really comes down to faith. Romans 12:3, for I say that through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Some people need a lot of strictures because a lot of things offend them, right? A lot of things, their faith is weak, so they're offended very easily. So they need a lot of strictures. 1 Corinthians 8:4, Paul explained this. As concerning, therefore, eating of things that are offered to sacrifice to idols, we know that an idol is nothing, and in the world, and that there is none other God but one. But he could not eat meat offered to idols with certain people, because they'd see him eating it and they'd get upset, because their conscience, their faith was not strong enough. But he's saying, just because that person's faith in that matter is not strong enough, don't look down on him. You're not better than them. But Paul understood that the idol was just a stone statue. But some people, if they saw someone sitting there eating the meat, it would bother their conscience. They would be troubled about it. So we see that there are different amounts of faith when it comes to doing certain things. Verse 7 says, howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. Not everyone has come to the understanding that not every single thing is sin. Not every single thing is sin. Other people are weak. They think, okay, this is sin, and it bothers them. The Bible says to that person it can become a sin. So you stay away from it. If it bothers you, stay away from it. Now, there are some absolute things that the Bible says are sin. You have to stay away from them. Amen. I'm trying to rush because we're so behind. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. When I was growing up, we were forbidden from going to the theater. You could not, you know, I think the first movie I watched in the theater was from my school, and it was The Ten Commandments. My dad said, okay. For if any man see thee which hath knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered? He may see you do it, and he doesn't know, it doesn't bother you because your faith is strong, but his faith isn't that strong, so he goes and tries and he feels condemned now. See? And so that's how it works. But through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. So the scripture says, Paul says, everything is lawful, or you know, there's a lot of things that are lawful, but they're not convenient, because we are pursuing holiness. It does matter what my brother thinks. That's why sometimes when we have guest preachers, and I'm not being a hypocrite, there's things that we allow here that I know they don't allow. And so I just say to people, well, you know, do this and this and this, because I don't want to offend them. It's not because I'm being a hypocrite. It's because I have the faith to know that that thing is not a sin, but it bothers them, so I don't want to bother their conscience. Amen. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. See, some need more mud. Jesus had to bring this man out and put some mud on his eyes for him to see. Other people, he could just speak to them and they could grasp it. He looked up and I said, I see men as trees walking. Now, this is amazing because this was the same Jesus who just spoke the word. So it shows you that your faith has a lot to do with what you can receive from God. And he put his hands upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Now, I'm going to put a picture on the screen, and I'm watching for people with cell phones because I know what they did last time to me. Now, I'm going to show you that it does matter what you look like. Okay? Now, if I came in here today on this platform looking like that, would you be listening to me? I could say all the preaching I want. You'd be looking at that picture and going, huh. So actually, there's nothing really sinful with what I'm wearing, but it is not convenient. And it doesn't help my witness, right? I'm watching for people with cell phones going to post this on Facebook. I will confiscate your cell phone. 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things do not edify. So, yes, none of those things, you know, if I want to put a horn on my head, that's not a sin. But I shouldn't come to church dressed like that and think I'm going to witness to you. Is that going to work? No. It's not going to work. I really haven't finished this, but I'm going to have to stop here. I want you to understand that pursuing holiness is not just saying stuff. You have to have a change. You have to understand that you're coming into the temple of God. Your body is the temple of God. You can't treat it any old how, because the Bible says him, the Lord, will destroy. If you could stand with me, amen. So we have guidelines in this church. We have guidelines. If you want to be used on the platform, we have some dress guidelines. And it's not a matter of you know, thus saith God, but it's just like that picture. I want your witness. I want your ministry to be effective. So if you're a woman and you're on the platform, your dress needs to cover your knee, or else look, sitting down there, you'll be able to see more than you should. Amen. That's just practical. That's not being a prude. It's just practical. I haven't finished this, but we'll continue. We got a whole month to go through this. Amen. We want to be holy because he said, I am holy. Amen. And it's not about legalism. It's not about an outside appearance. It really has to start from the heart. But what's in the heart will show on the outside. The Bible says it's from what comes out of a person defiles them. Whatever's inside your heart, if you love God, you'll do whatever it is to please him. You'll do whatever it is to please him, because he is coming. And he's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. Hallelujah. That's what he's coming for. If you could bow your heads with me. Father, we just thank you for our Sunday school this morning.